Welcome to Slowpreneur, a podcast about building a business without the busy. I'm your host, Stephanie Pellet, and I'm a coach for thoughtful, values-based entrepreneurs just like you. On this show, we talk about creating a business with intention, heart, and sustainability in mind. Join me as I connect with my friends and clients and share my own reflections on why slow and steady entrepreneurship will always win the race. On today's episode, I'm talking about some of the strategies that have helped me to create a calmer and more peaceful business. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Slowpreneur. Thank you so much for being here, honestly. And if you're a subscriber, I want to say an extra special thank you for subscribing, because you may not realize this, but it actually goes such a long way. When you subscribe to a show, it means that that show's creator has a direct line of communication with you. They're able to reach you without relying on external platforms like Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or Facebook, RIP, to reach you. You know, and those platforms are constantly changing their algorithm. They're constantly changing the rules. They're constantly making creators jump through more and more and more hoops to be able to reach the people that want to hear from them. So when you sign up for a newsletter or you subscribe to a podcast, it just means that that creator has that much more agency and control in their own business. And it means that they can continue bringing you helpful content that's actually going to support you rather than spending all their time trying to figure out how to hack the algorithm to even reach you in the first place. So on behalf of podcasters everywhere, thank you so much. If you're a subscriber, if you're not a subscriber, consider just smashing that subscribe button. You know what I'm saying? Just consider it. I would love it. I would love to stay in touch with you and be able to have these chats again. Today, we are going to be chatting about how to create a calmer business. This is something that I have learned the hard way in my own career. When I first started out, I was freelancing and I found it really difficult to take time for myself, to manage all of the competing priorities and clients that I was working with. And I felt really frazzled a lot of the time because I was constantly switching back and forth between things or constantly forgetting what I needed to do in my business or in others' businesses. So I have learned a thing or two over the course of running my own business about how to create more calm and more peace in your business. And I think this is something that is not really talked about very often. We talk a lot about marketing, you know, how to get louder, how to show up more. We talk a lot about money, how to make more money, how you can leverage the clients that you have, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't always talk about how to find that internal sense of alignment, that internal peace and calm amidst the chaos that is running any business. There's no two ways around it, that running a business is always going to be juggling a lot of different balls. You can reference my episode about juggling balls if you would like to. But the point is that you're always going to be keeping a lot of things going. You're always going to be wearing a lot of different hats. Even if you one day create a really large team that you're working with, you're still going to be managing a lot of competing priorities. And so how do we find a sense of calm amidst all of that busyness? How do we feel like our business is not so busy all the time? So I have some ideas. These are things that I often see folks and clients struggling with when they are feeling burned out or overwhelmed. Chances are they haven't implemented one of these things. And I'm going to talk you through what they are one by one. Don't get overwhelmed if you feel like you don't have any of this stuff set up in your business, because all of the things I'm going to talk about today are really like a long-term investment. It's the kind of thing that once you set it up once, it continues to pay dividends for you for months, probably even years to come. So it's really worth it to work through these things one at a time, and you're really going to start to see the payoff from them almost immediately, and that payoff will continue over time. And you know what? There's not that many things in life like that where you can just set it and then benefit immediately and long term. So these are good things to kind of implement. So number one, the first thing that we're going to talk about is setting up some boundaries and policies for yourself and your business. Now, this is really challenging to do, especially in the early days, because you feel like your time is so valuable and you feel like if you're not working all the time Or if you're not answering emails from your clients all the time, then you're going to lose out on business. You're not going to get paid as much. You're not going to make any money, and your business is going to fail. And it's really difficult to decouple yourself from that kind of mindset, especially when you're charging by the hour. That can be really difficult to switch out of because you feel like every hour you're not working is time that you could be working and be making more money. So this really is kind of a mindset thing. And to me, it comes down to choosing abundance over scarcity. It means choosing the idea that there will always be enough work, there will always be more opportunities, there will always be more things coming your way. And if one thing doesn't work out, or if you take a pause on a particular project in the short term, then you don't have to panic. You don't have to think that immediately you're going to lose that gig or no one will ever want to work with you again. This allows you to turn down things that don't feel like a fit, or just take your time with them if they are a fit, without feeling like you need to bend over backwards and constantly compromise your personal time, your sleeping time, your meal time, etc., just because you feel like if you're not the most responsive person alive, that person is going to immediately fire you and never work with you again. Or if you're in a product-based business that no one will ever buy from you again. These are really toxic and insidious mindsets that we get into. And sometimes we're not even realizing that that's what we're actually believing. We just think the urgency makes sense because we want to be really responsive customer service representatives in our business. We want to give people the information they need. We want to be helpful. And all of that is great. Don't stop doing that. You know, we need more businesses that truly care about their customers. But at the same time, I think it's worth fact-checking for yourself what you consider to be professional business conduct in advance. So what I mean by in advance is setting up some policies for yourself that you create at a time when you're not reacting to something, when you're not triggered by someone reaching out and sending you an email, when you're not feeling the pressure because a client has asked you a question. Really taking some time apart from all of that external stimuli to decide what you actually think is right. And I call these rules or policies in your business, because I love that expression that something can be the exception to a rule. Meaning, you can have the rule in place in your business across the board. And if you decide one night, you know what, actually, I do want to stay up until 11:30 at night finishing this project because I know how much it means to this client and it really is a crunch time and it really is an emergency deadline, I can do that. But the rest of the time, that's not what I do. The rest of the time, I try to close my computer at 5 p.m. So again, you're the boss in your business, always. You can always make an exception to the rule. But I think when you don't have the rule as a starting place, it means that it's like the Wild West out there in your business. It means anything goes. It means you can, of course, do that extra work, or you can, of course, bend the rules because you don't have any rules to bend. So I really encourage you to set this up as if it's a policy for yourself. Sometimes I like to encourage people to imagine that they have an employee and what kinds of policies would they like to set up in their business for their employee. How much vacation does their employee get to take? How much downtime does their employee get to have? Do they get to take weekends off or do they have to work all weekend? When you're really thinking about somebody else and the kind of company that you yourself would believe in and would want to create, it sometimes makes it a lot easier to decide what those policies will be when you're not just thinking about yourself. And I know this is like a cruel irony of life. Like, why isn't it enough that we want it? Why do we have to think about someone else? But I take the pragmatic approach. If it makes it easier for you to consider someone else's experience when you're designing your own policies, so be it. That's totally fine. And then I think once you have these policies, there are ways to build them into your work with people. So whether you are a product-based business and you want to set up what kind of turnaround time you have for orders, meaning maybe you don't ship out orders the next business day. Maybe it gets shipped out within 2 to 4 business days. That can then be communicated to your clients up front so they know what they're getting and you don't feel the constant pressure of, oh, I just got an order. I better turn around, drop everything that I'm doing and send it out right this second because you know you actually have up to 4 business days if there are things going on today. Again, you can always bend the rules. You can always decide, you know what, I do have time this afternoon. I'll do it today. That way you are really going above and beyond what you already set up for people's expectations, but you're not compromising on your own boundaries and your own time. This also goes for service-based businesses and freelancers. When you're first working with someone and you're onboarding them, you can communicate upfront. Here are my working hours. Here's when I don't work. When it's not working hours, you won't be able to reach me. You can tell all of that information within your contract or even within your first intake call, just so people are all on the same page. And this buys you a little more space where you don't feel guilty. It buys you a little more space where you can feel confident because you know that the client is not actually expecting an immediate response because they signed a contract saying that they understood that they can't contact you after 6 p.m. So setting some of these things up from the get-go is going to really reduce that level of stress and anxiety that we feel in our businesses to constantly be doing things, constantly be responding to things. It starts to give you a little bit more of a buffer between the stimulus and the response because you have created that space for yourself. This is also why I think vacation responders work. I don't actually think vacation responders are necessarily for the other person, although, yeah, that helps. It helps them too. But they're actually, in my case, often for me, because I know that if I'm communicating to someone, hey, I'm away, you're not going to hear from me, what that actually does is allow me to calm down. It allows me to feel like I don't have to check my email. And that is so valuable. That buys me some time. So you could even consider, if this is something that you really, really struggle with, you could consider doing a vacation autoresponder or just an autoresponder after your working hours. Some people don't like this because, you know, it is a lot of emails for that other person to be receiving if they're contacting you. And if it's a client that you work with often, getting an autoresponder every night could potentially be annoying to them. But if it's something that you really struggle with in your business, is feeling like you need to have an immediate response to anyone who reaches out to you, having a little autoresponder on to say, hey, you're reaching us outside of business hours, we'll get back to you at this time, could be exactly the thing you need to actually be able to unplug, unwind, recharge, and have some time to yourself between business days. The other thing that I like to say here is that your policies don't have to look the same as what you were raised seeing the business world as. So if you're a night owl and you actually really like working later into the night, that could be your policy. If you actually prefer working on Sundays to get ahead for the week and then taking Wednesdays off, that could be your policy. I'm not here to tell you what your policy should be. I'm just here to say I encourage you to have one, because otherwise, life becomes like a vacuum, sucking up every ounce of available space. And that's not going to lead to very much calm or peace in our businesses, because we'll never feel like we get to have any downtime. This episode of Slowpreneur is sponsored by The Profoundry, a coaching and community program for thoughtful entrepreneurs run by yours truly. If you've been looking for a supportive group of business besties who share your values and really get it, this could be the perfect membership for you, because these people are truly amazing. Every month in the program, we have a bunch of different calls. For example, productivity parties to get our work done together, workshops on things like project planning, balance and boundaries, or goal setting. And we often do creative think tanks that offer custom group coaching for members for whatever they might be struggling with. We also have a really supportive Slack community with weekly check-ins. We have a resource library full of recordings and interesting workshops, and a business book club so that you can learn about business from interesting and diverse authors. If this sounds like your cup of tea, I'd love for you to come check it out. You can learn more and get your first productivity party pass for free by going to stephaniepellet.com/profoundry. I would love to see you there. My second favorite way to build more calm and buffer into our businesses is to create more self-serve information for our clients. When I work with people, the number one thing that I see them struggling with is email communication, or communication in general, DMs, emails, texts, etc. They might feel inundated by the amount of communication that they're getting from their clients or customers, whether it's questions about the fit of a particular garment or how to fix something on their website if you're a web developer. Constantly getting these kinds of questions from people can be the thing that drains you. It can be the thing that keeps you trapped in your inbox all the time instead of actually getting real work done. And so one of my favorite strategies to kind of break free from this habit of constantly needing to spend our time, or the majority of our time, in our inboxes is to create more self-serve information for your clients and customers. So this can look a lot of different ways. The number one way that I love is to have FAQs, whether that's on your sales page for a particular offering, on a product page for a particular product, or just an FAQ page on your website in general that answers most of the commonly asked questions that you get. And the great thing about an FAQ page is that it can be a work in progress that you update every time you start getting a new question. One of the things I love about FAQs is that they allow you to address more difficult concepts, usually with more personality and more humor based on how you respond. So if you're constantly getting kind of annoying questions or you find it difficult to say no to someone in a one-to-one kind of framework, you can set up your FAQ so that it's humorous and fun and warm, but you don't have to be telling it to that person directly. If someone is constantly asking for refunds, you can put that upfront on your sales page or your product listing to say that you don't offer refunds on this kind of product. That way you have something to reference back to. If someone pushes back, can say, hey, it was actually here before you checked out. I told you upfront that this is not something I offer. And they also allow you to answer fewer emails. When people can find the answers to their questions somewhere on your website or somewhere on your product pages, they don't have to come to you with every single one of those questions. This is also a really great link to have. If you do have some kind of autoresponder set up, you can always link to your FAQ at the bottom saying, hey, you know, we're not available right now, but maybe try checking this page and see whether we answer your question here. That can be a really great way to avoid having to answer every single question yourself. Another great way to do this is by having guidebooks. And this especially works well for service-based business owners or people who run events like retreats, let's say. Having a guidebook that answers pretty much every question you could think of that someone might have for you is such a great way to have some peacefulness and some space leading up to your offering. So we do this for Nurture. We send out a really in-depth guidebook a couple of weeks before, and my barometer for whether or not it has worked is whether Sonia or myself gets a lot of questions leading up to the retreat. We're about to have a retreat in a couple weeks from now, and I don't think we've gotten almost any questions at all about how it works, where to go, what time to show up, what to bring, any of that, because we've already addressed it all in the guidebook. This is like one of those strategies that I think people feel like might be impersonal, right? I want to show up for my clients. I want to be there for them, and I don't mind answering their questions. But the thing is, if you're answering the same question repeatedly, it's actually not the best use of your time. It's actually not the best way to show up for your clients. What I love about this strategy is that by not answering all of these itty bitty little questions that might feel stressful or draining to have coming from all these different directions leading up to a big event or retreat, instead, I get to focus on making the actual retreat experience as amazing as it can be so that I can show up super, super fully for my clients in person. I always like to encourage people, put the personality and the extra touches in the pieces that cannot be outsourced, right? You are so special. The way you show up for people is so special. But the way that you answer their question about what linens to bring is not necessarily something that has to be overly personalized. And it does not have to be something that you do yourself multiple times leading up to every event. So I love a guidebook. This also works really well for photographers, especially, let's say, a wedding photographer, where you would need to communicate a lot of information to your client about itinerary, about what to wear, about what not to do leading up to your event or your wedding. And so creating some kind of guidebook that outlines how the process will work, what it will look like, what you'll do, what you won't do, can be a really succinct and beautiful and branded way to communicate that information. I think done well, a great guidebook is actually marketing. It's actually hugely important in establishing the tone and the vibe of the experience that you're creating for someone and can be a huge asset. So it's not something that takes away from the work you're doing at all. It doesn't feel impersonal or cold. I think it actually helps you create an even warmer and more brand-aligned experience for people, but in an asynchronous kind of way. Another way to create more asynchronous communication and to develop a little bit more space from all the communication is to put your pricing on your website. At least a range of pricing, at least a starting at price, something. I think that doing this one thing can save you so much time and so much wasted time. Because oftentimes, if people don't know any real variety in terms of the pricing that you offer, they might be wasting your time just by reaching out to you when they absolutely cannot afford you. Right? Then you have to go through the whole process of getting on a discovery call with them or setting up a meeting or whatever the case may be, only for them to figure out, oh, actually, I can't afford to work with you. So just by starting to put your pricing in visible places, that's already going to save you so much time and not have to deal with all these inquiries that aren't serious. If you have your pricing somewhere very accessible where people can find out the information themselves, you're going to really cut down on the unnecessary emails that you have to answer because everything is clearly laid out on the website. This same concept goes for if you're selling like a group program, for instance, it really behooves you to put as much information as possible about the program, dates, times, pricing, what they get, extras, bonuses, FAQ questions, everything on the sales page. Because then people have the autonomy to decide, is this something for me or not? I get to decide on my own. I get to take my time with it. I don't have to reach out to ask a question. And that business owner also doesn't have to respond and take time to respond. I really think that sometimes, again, we feel like, oh no, but I want people to reach out. I want people to ask me. But sometimes you really want those leads to be actually qualified before they're even reaching out to you. Because otherwise, again, I really do feel like it can be a waste of your time. Strategy number three is to practice collecting more information asynchronously. So especially for service-based business owners, we usually need to collect a lot of information from people before we can even give them a quote, for instance, if it's a specialized project. Or when we're onboarding a new client, we need to collect a lot of information about their preferences, what they're struggling with, how we can help them, etc. And so I really think it's a good idea to have asynchronous information gathering at a couple different stages of your process. Number one, in your contact form itself. Sometimes I can tell just from how someone fills out my contact form whether or not it's going to be a good fit to work together. And if I can tell immediately from the jump that it's actually not going to be a good fit, or that person is misunderstanding what it is that I offer, and I can tell that immediately, that makes it a lot easier for me to gently say, I actually think that maybe you might be benefited from working with this other person, or I don't think I'm the right fit for you. And that means I don't have to get on a discovery call. I don't have to do a whole bunch of back and forth communication. I'm gaining some time back, gaining some space back for myself and for my existing clients or clients who would be a better fit. So if you just have a generic contact form on your website that doesn't collect any additional information about, you know, details of the project, depending on your industry, their budget, what they're looking for, what kind of support they need, all of that, if you're able to put just a few more questions there, you might instantly be able to gain back a little bit more space because you can tell from the jump whether or not someone is the right fit. Now, that's not always the case, right? Sometimes you're going to want to get on a call to be able to learn more, and that's okay. That's what discovery calls are for, and that's why we build them into our business model. But at the same time, I think if you can qualify your leads a little bit more, it's going to save you some time in the long run. Now, this same principle applies when you do decide to work with someone. Even if you're really excited about them as a client, it does not necessarily mean that the best use of your time in general is going to be having many calls with them to gather information about where they're at. Obviously, you'll probably have an initial intake conversation, but I always feel like I can do my job a whole lot better when I have some more information going into it. And that's why I always have an intake questionnaire for people to tell me more about where they're at. What do they prefer? Tell me more about your personality. What works for you? What doesn't work for you? What's working for you in your business? What's not? All of that kind of thing. And the more information that I can get from them in that way, the better I can show up to our first call and kind of hit the ground running. I don't have to waste all this time getting to know them or their position or their situation. I can just start the call and know where I'm at. And so I really think that using asynchronous communication can be really beneficial. It means that people can fill things out on their own time. You can read it on your own time. And it just means that you're going to save each other a lot of time in the long run of not having to get on all these additional calls. So making use of that is something I would highly recommend, and it's usually pretty easy to set up in your business. Strategy number four is to keep your tasks somewhere other than your email or a random spreadsheet or Google Doc. I cannot tell you the amount of times I've come into a business and they're managing really complex situations on a bullet point list in Google Docs. Like, I'm not really sure how we're supposed to assign tasks. I'm not really sure how we're supposed to figure out what comes first when everything is just blended together in one list. I really, really, really recommend investing in some kind of product that will allow you to input all your tasks, give them some kind of priority level. That's like an extra step. You don't have to do that, but I really like doing it. And assign yourself a due date. So it gives you the ability to get a handle on your work, figure out what needs to get done, and see your tasks in a bunch of different ways. My number one recommendation for this is always Asana. There are some things I don't love about it, but in general, I really think it's such an awesome product, especially for small business owners, because you can have a whole team in there. You can have lots of tasks in there. You can assign things to different people or to yourself, and you can have sort of a bird's eye view of all your tasks across many different projects all in the same place. And it's very easy to get started. It's really simple to learn, and it's not complicated. My other favorite, of course, is Notion. You've heard me talk about Notion before. And while I do love Notion, I don't necessarily always recommend it to people who are just getting into task management for the first time, because you really do have to kind of know what you want in a task manager in order to be able to essentially design it yourself, code it yourself in your Notion database. I actually have some Notion Creative Templates for sale that includes a task manager at notioncreativetemplates.teachery.co if you're curious about them. But it is a little bit more complicated to set up tasks in Notion for your very first time. So I recommend using something like Asana. If Asana feels too complicated for you, you could use something like Todoist. I used that before I used Asana, which is what I used before I used Notion. And I love the simplicity of Todoist, and you can share projects there as well. So there's so many options. I just recommend something where you can have dates and you can see all your tasks in a list and preferably also in a calendar. And I really think that this does a few things for you. It allows you to take a step back from all the incoming information and make a plan. This is not an ad, it's a pause. I've decided to build an intentional break into every episode of Slowpreneur because I know I'm throwing a lot of ideas and hopefully inspiration your way, and I wanted to give you a moment to integrate it, to not have to pay attention, to not have to absorb anymore, to just marinate on what we've talked about so far and take a breath before we continue. Let's get back to the show. Okay, so those are my top four ideas for how to inject more calm and peace and really create a sense of ownership in your business, a sense of you being in control, of you having full agency over how you spend your time and energy. I think these things can be really supportive to you. I will give you a few other ideas, and I'll just do them in kind of a rapid fire style way, although this is the Slowpreneur podcast, so maybe we'll do it in a lazy river kind of way. But the first one is to raise your prices incrementally. So I'm not saying double, triple, 10x your prices overnight, but I'm saying as you start to get more work, as you start to be more known for your products or your services, to slowly start to increase your pricing to match. You could do this on a yearly basis by giving yourself a little raise each year, or you could do this with every successful new client sale. You could see, am I good with that price? Does it need to go up a little bit? Am I doing too much work for the price that I'm being paid? You can reevaluate this often. And I think that over time, if your pricing starts to be in a more comfortable place for you, it will mean that you don't have to take on as much scattered work and you can focus more fully on the very few but great clients that you have, or for the very few products that you love that you want to sell. So just really being able to streamline a bit, I think increasing your prices really helps with that. And so that's a strategy that I'll mention. Our next stop on the Lazy River is to make sure you're repurposing work as often as you can. This means not only repurposing a blog post into an Instagram post, for example, which I think is a great strategy, or reusing past work for new clients. For example, if you have a proposal that you have to send out and you already created one for a past client, just using that as a template for your new client proposal rather than starting from scratch. I also think this is something you can do on your website. If you have to create a new page, don't create a brand new page. Go to a past page, recreate it, change the content, change the copy, change the photos. All my clients know this is something I basically say every single day, but I believe it. It really helps me to feel calmer and to get more things done because I'm very, very rarely starting from the beginning on anything. I always have a bit of a head start because of something I did in the past or because of a template that I am starting from in, let's say, a program like Canva. I'm not necessarily going to just start with a blank page in Canva. I might start with one of their templates and personalize it for my business. So as often as you can, repurpose your work, duplicate things, start from a template. It will save you so much time and help you feel a lot more grounded and calm. And lastly, I really like the idea of having a bit of a decision matrix for creating new products or taking on new gigs. So if you have your priorities clearly laid out from the beginning, let's say you have some core guiding words that you want to prioritize in your business this season or this year or just forever, you can let those be a barometer for you for whether or not to take something on. And I really like it to be a matrix in the sense that you want to make sure that it's hitting at least a few of the points on your matrix. So let's say you have a bunch of different values, like right now you're prioritizing making good money, building your skills in a particular area. Maybe you want to learn more about a particular program or industry or niche. That could be something else that you're currently prioritizing, or maybe it's working with great clients, making sure there's a really amazing fit between you and the client in terms of your values. If those were my three guiding principles, I might say that in my decision-making process, the gig needs to meet two out of three of those at least. So it needs to either be, you know, really great money and really great skills for me, but maybe it's not necessarily the best values fit with that client. You know, maybe I might say, okay, that's good enough for me. Or it could be any of the other combinations, right? So having some kind of guiding principle for how you make decisions in terms of what to create, what to take on, etc., that can save you a lot of mental agony trying to constantly decide every single time, is this something I do? Do I want to offer that? You can have these guiding principles that you just need to know that it has to meet, you know, two out of three or three out of four or whatever to be able to be something that you take on. And again, no one can create that for you. That has to be based on your own values and your current priorities in your business and in your life. But once you have those identified, I really think this can save you a lot of time and mean that you're not taking up on projects that will lead to resentment or anger or really bad nightmarish situations with clients or customers. Okay, so those are my ideas. That's what I think has helped me to create a calmer business. And that's why I feel a lot of the time pretty grounded in my business. I might not always know what I want to do next. I might have some confusion about the future, but in the present moment, I always feel pretty calm and in control of what I'm doing because I have a sense of my own boundaries, my own priorities, and the way that I want to communicate with clients. I've really tried to set things up in a way that feels supportive to me. So if you have set things up in your business in a way that feels supportive to you, I would love to hear about it. You can let me know what helps your business feel calm by reaching out to hello@stephaniepellet.com or send me a DM on Instagram, even though I'm not there that often. You can still reach me there at Steph Pellet. I would love to hear from you and I would love to crowdsource some more ideas on this. In the meantime, until next time, I want to thank you so much for listening. You are amazing. I really love having these conversations. I really love talking to you. And I have been getting more DMs recently from people who are listening. And it means so much to me to know that there are other people out there who like understand what I'm saying and what I'm trying to do and that want to do the same thing in your own business and in your own life. Like, that's just so inspiring. Let's unite, you know? Let's find each other so that we can really support each other in building the kinds of businesses that we want to see in the world. I'm here for it. If you're here for it, I'm here for you. I'll talk to you very soon. Thanks so much for listening to Slowpreneur. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend or reach out and let me know at hello@stephaniepellet.com. I would love to hear from you. As always, you can find show notes for this and all episodes at stephaniepellet.com/slowpreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.